Hello and welcome to Pullback Reveal with me, Kev Rook, the interview podcast where we talk to funny people to find out what makes them laugh. So we'll speak to comedians, actors, authors, academics, award winners, sports people, you name it. And we'll find out from them what they find funny and how humour and comedy has influenced their work. So it might get serious from time to time, hey? Why not, hey? But at the end of the day, we'll always come back to the funny. So sit back, relax, put your feet up and enjoy this week's episode of Pullback Reveal. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to this episode 9 of the Ed Fringe Extra Bonus episodes. And this time I am chatting with the amazing, hilarious, brilliant Lulzy Byrne. Now, for those of you that don't know, Lulzy Byrne is an award-winning stand-up comedian based out of Dublin, but she's also kind of really prevalent and active on social media as well, and putting some amazing content out onto YouTube with a, I should describe them as like a collective, but a channel that she contributes to, which is called the Try Channel, like way over 600,000 subscribers to that. And her Twitter is hilarious, and also her Instagram as well. Look at the show notes, they're all there, but also just search Lulzy Byrne, L-O-L-S-Y-B-Y-R-N-E, and you'll find her on there. No, but like brilliant content, and I know I sound really middle-aged and pathetic and dadsy saying this, but she's kind of one of those younger performers, one of those younger ones, but who's kind of really using social media in a brilliant way to get her name out there, to get her comedy out there and her content. And yeah, we have a little bit of a chat about that during this episode, but we also talk about her Edinburgh Fringe show this year, Sweet Enough, which is stand-up based, but then there's also musical theatre content to it as well. It's definitely a performance there, and what I loved about it, and from hearing about it more, is how it takes on some really serious issues, but it's kind of like two, three different styles all being slammed together, as I say during our chat, to create something, yeah, magnificently creative and refreshing and different and raw, tackling some really serious issues, but as I said, hilarious as well. Absolutely, like, so funny, the work that she does. And yeah, check her stuff out. Check her out if you haven't seen her before. You will not be disappointed. This is also the episode in which Baby makes her third appearance. I think it's her third appearance now on the show. And she contributes a little bit. You'll hear the odd murmur and mutter along the way. But no, she's a big fan as well of Lulzy. Who wouldn't be, eh? The kids love her. Definitely my baby as well. So, without further ado and me waffling on, sit back, relax, put your feet up and enjoy the absolutely amazing, wonderful Lulzy Byrne in this extra episode 9 of the Ed Fringe Extras. Okay, so I am joined now by Lulzy Byrne. How are you, Lulzy?
I'm good. How are you keeping?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Cheers for catching up with us today.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Good stuff. So you're up at the Fringe at the moment. And where do we find you physically at this moment in time? Where have you dived into to have a little chat?
I am up in the Just a Tonic Charter Centre. I'm helping out with a cabaret show there. So I was like, hey, Wi-Fi. So it's hopefully quiet enough.
no, cool. It's all good. And look, I better get it out there. But to be fair, she's becoming a bit of a regular on my podcast, is my 4-month-old. she completely hijacked the chat with Callie Beaton. She tried to ruin that.
Oh, really?
She just wanted all of that. She wasn't
happy
about it.
She wants to be a
star.
Well,
there was something that Callie said, you know, that about the industry that she just took offence to. And kicked off big time. So yeah, I'm sure that
5 stars, Kate Kopstick.
exactly that. But thank you very much, enjoying it. So look, let's kick off, I guess it makes sense, with
tell us about your show and what you're up to in Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of at the midpoint of the festival at the moment, so it's a very, you know, living on pies and constipation at the moment, but I am in Sneaky Pete's every single day at 1:15 with my show Sweet Enough.
Awesome. And yeah, really good artwork and stuff for that. That's what drew me in, first of all. I spotted that online and like, yeah, cool poster you got. And that sort of...
It's so important.
It
was a very last minute thing.
Well, they're so important these days, aren't they? Just because everything gets shared online and that's where so many people go to sort of decide what they're going to see or, you know, and that kind of thing. That it's...
Yeah, yeah. I also find that like, I like really just bold. I think it's just from like, you know, doing art in school where everyone's like, you know, posters stick to 3 colors,
yeah,
2 fonts max and all this sort of stuff, but I often find that when I'm looking at things myself, it's the ones that are just kind of bold that are the most eye-catching and the most inviting, whereas you see something that has like a million different pictures on it and 27 fonts that are very illegible, you're more likely to not really attend those shows, even if they could be brilliant, they could be the most highly rated things, but still, you know, it's
weird, isn't it? We make sort of snap decisions and perceptions of things like so quickly,
we grow up like learning don't judge a book by its cover, but like we're definitely judging comedians by their posters.
I think it rarely gets said, but it does say that afterwards, but I think over time that the second sentence of that proverb has been deleted out and lost. But I think you did used to say, except for comedians at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Yeah.
Exactly.
Where you should definitely judge them on their artwork and how good their flyers are and all of that. So what's the show about?
The show is a musical comedy about dealing with mental health issues. Which sounds like, and some, I fired someone the other day, they read the back of my flyer. I know, doesn't that sound amazing? Yes, your daughter agrees with me so
she's
much.
She's into this. This is good. She's this is a good sign, Lulzy.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, keep going though, because you could turn it any second.
Someone read the back of the flyer the other day and was just like, wow, that sounds depressing as hell. But I promise you it's not. It's sort of one of those things where my first year, this is my third show, and the first year I did The Fringe, it was all about having a bereavement.
And okay.
It was, you know, I found it very cathartic. But the year after that, I was like, geez, I better do something like upbeat and fun. And I don't know, I just felt there was no guts in it. You know, there was nothing personal to it. So I thought I'd go back to this.
I get that. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because I've spoken to I speak to comedians all the time, obviously doing this podcast, but then even more during Fringe season. And there's so many different ways to go about it. And I've spoken to some people that have just gone out with these are big gag filled shows. You know, it's just that's what I'm doing. I'm just sort of going out with my best staff and doing these. And then obviously there's lots that are themed, or then you get the more surreal stuff as well. But I guess it is a different beast though, isn't it? Like the hour show or 45 minutes hour, whatever it is up at Edinburgh, it's different to a club set. It's not like you're 20 minutes on a Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. And sure, I'm doing spots over here and I'm hitting them with my best sort of gags, and then they come to see my show and they're like, wow, wasn't expecting to get a bit weepy there.
You got to come and see Lulzy. She is a hoot. And then they're all tears after, why did you bring us?
Exactly.
No, that's cool, man. And it's good to take on some serious issues. So is that kind of written from personal knowledge of stuff, or are you mining?
It's all about personal experiences. It's all about my own dealings with mental health, and particularly abuse, be it in a personal capacity or through the channel that I work on, the YouTube channel.
Right.
But at the same time, I make it kind of witty and fun by taking a musical approach to it, which is something that when I first started comedy maybe 6 years ago, I was a music student. I was like, well, no one can heckle me if I'm mid-song, and they can. They really can. But I sort of felt like there was this epidemic of manic pixie dream girls with ukulele. So I went to do straight stand-up for an awful long time, and then I was like, do you know what? Let's go back to the roots here and talk about something that can be very sensitive. It can be sometimes triggering for people, but let's approach it in a way that's accessible. And, you know, you'll be singing your songs forever there, and, you know, like going around the rest of the day singing songs about gaslighting and stuff, you know.
Those happy times, we could all look back fondly on those times. Yeah, but no, it's cool. And I really like that sort of style of doing stuff. I guess probably some of my favourite comedians and performers are the sort of people that you're almost like smashing two opposites together, aren't you? So like the topics of mental health with like musical theatre as well, you know, like going like, right, they probably shouldn't sit together that comfortably. But then I guess it's through that tension and those opposites that probably, you know, that's where a lot of your humour can come from then.
Yeah, because I think if I was just to like do an hour of me talking about how miserable I was, like, no one's going to find that funny. But if I can wrap it up in a nice little twee song there, you know, it's been going well. It's been really nice. I had a lovely person come back for the second time this fringe, and she brought like a completely different group of friends just because she liked it so much the first time. So that's so lovely when you get that type of feedback, you know?
Yeah, that's like pretty much the best review that you can get when it's punters that are coming back, isn't it? And spreading, doing the job for you, you know, and spreading the word on your behalf is like so important when you're up there. So you kind of mentioned like it was about 6 years ago or so that you got into it. What was your route into comedy then? Because like you're from, is it Dublin that you're from? Sorry if I got that wrong.
Dublin.
Yeah, it is Dublin, yeah.
Well, I started out being like, I'm going to become a teacher. And I did music and French in university, and then got involved with the Drama Society in more of a writing capacity. And though I was in plays, I am a crap actress. Like, I'm so bad. The only roles I was ever any good at were the comedic roles. And even then, I was kind of playing to the laughs, and that's...
Like, properly, ham it up big time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, like, a director's giving you notes afterwards, being like, stop that, stop it. But I grew up, like, watching people like the Two Ronnies and Billy Connolly. So, like, that humour has always been in my blood. I've always wanted to make people laugh. So I was like, why don't I combine the two, like, my love for writing and then love for funny performance, and try stand-up, and I've never look back.
No, awesome. So do you gig over, like, you're based out of Dublin still, are you? So do you, like, gig over, what do I call it? Well, England and Scotland, I guess. My geography is. Do you gig overseas very often?
Yeah, I try to. You know, I've gigged in Edinburgh, like, many, many, many times, but I've only just started trying to, like, get into England and London. It's a very saturated market, and, you know, you do have to start from the bottom when you're coming over as an outsider.
The Dublin scene's quite healthy though, isn't it? I've been over there a couple of times, and there's quite a lot going on.
Yeah, we've got comedy clubs on every night of the week. It's absolutely brilliant, and some absolutely fantastic homegrown acts that are just consistently knocking out of the park. And it's really, really lovely to see people who've been working at it for a while back home come to the Fringe, smash it, and have reviewers, agents all dying to see their shows. So like, it's lovely to see that, but it also gives hope to the rest of us as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess we're like using a massive sort of sweeping brush, which I sort of mean as a compliment, I think, is that obviously like Dublin's a city that loads of tourists go to, so it's like like all year round, isn't it, as well? There'll be bloody groups go in, and people go in to drink Guinness, like, sort of like everyone, like, pilgrimage kind of thing, you know, to go to Dublin.
Like, it's rare to find an Irish person in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, exactly. But I bet that really helps though with the gigs, because I've been as an audience member as well when I've been to Dublin, being that English knobhead who's gone over to drink Guinness and act like a twat in someone else's city. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do apologise to the city of Dublin for 2009. You probably remember a few of you listening to this. Yeah. The summer of 2009, yeah. But maybe that helps with like the sort of crowds that you get in those clubs then, because that's going to be very different to a Wednesday night in some small town. Well, in Ireland still, you know, but where they haven't got that footfall, you're kind of getting that almost festivalish crowd in a way, you know, a few drinks in them and up for a good time and it's a special occasion. And it, I can only, the couple of clubs that I went to, apologies, can't remember the names of them, but atmosphere was like buzzing, you know, and this was like Wednesday, Thursday nights, you know.
And I think TripAdvisor has a huge part to play in those type of things, because it's only recently that like a lot of the clubs that would have their own cult followers that would come back week after week and support the live comedy, like those type of clubs are also saying, no, will you give us a review on TripAdvisor, because it's the same few clubs that will draw in the tourists, because they are, you know, like highly rated as things to do in Dublin. And then sometimes it's not the most widespread representation of what we have to offer here, like, you know. There's like, you're right in saying like there's multiple nights on like every day of the week in Dublin, and maybe if you go down the country somewhere it might be like once a month they'll have a gig and it'll be well attended, but
yeah,
you know, still it's not they, like people who are further out have to travel to get to these things. But there's certain clubs where you know they're always going to get the tourists, like the international is very funny because people presume it's going to be international comedians and it's just a load of us. Like, how are you? German, is it? Golden tag, you know, that's like, that's it, you know. The cellar is the same. And I find the cellar is a real third date gig where everyone who goes there, like, it's, you know, their second or third Tinder date.
Got you. I like that description.
And they're not sure whether they want to laugh yet. Like, you know, they're like, oh, am I allowed to laugh at this? Is she laughing? Oh, okay, I'll give a bit of a chuckle. Like, you know, that type of thing.
That's a lovely way to describe a club. I know a couple like that. I've not thought of that analogy for it before, but I might, I'll nick that. I'll start using that in future, I think. But so obviously, like, from that background, and I was going to say as well, if you want to come over to Manchester and gig this way at any point, or if you're planning to, let me know. Or come and do the Manchester Comedy Festival as well. That's a good little festival to do. It's not like anything like Edinburgh, but there's some good, solid venues in Manchester where I'm based as well. So get a good crowd along for you for that, for definite. But you mentioned yourself about like the online stuff and the YouTube channel as well, and you built up quite a following, haven't you, of kind of online stuff, which is cool.
It's really nice. It's given me the opportunity to be funny on a much wider level than I could ever imagine, and with that too, if we visitors come into Dublin who are fans of the channel, they'll always come along and support you at your gigs, which is like, it's crazy to think of, you know, people come up to you on the street and they're like, oh my God, you do this thing. And I start apologizing, you know, as if I've ruined their day. And they're like, can we take a photo? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Sure. I don't mean to be here. You know, like as if I'm causing them some difficulty. But yeah, like it's bizarre to think of. And I talk about it in my show as well, just like being in a position where there these people who have watched you for years now and follow you online, and they feel like they know you on a personal level as well. So
it's a complete game changer, isn't it, in terms of like your career and how you can build a following, which, you know, would the only way in the past would have been, I don't know, you possibly have already, no disrespect to the Irish scene, but you might have already thought about, oh, if I want to grow and keep getting my name out there, I might need to move to London. You know, like so many Irish comics did in the past, obviously, didn't they? That would have been the thing of, oh, Dublin, right, is going okay here. I want to do something. Who was I speaking to? Michael Redmond recently, who's actually based up in Glasgow now, but, you know, from being in Father Ted and stuff like that. And that's what he did. He sort of came on a little holiday and went to the store and was just like, yeah, I need to come over here. I need to get a part of that. But then there was no other way for him to think about a career in entertainment, you know, he thought, I must live within 10 miles of where the BBC are, kind of thing, you know, to ever get a break.
And I suppose that is, like, very true of Dublin. Like, as lovely as the scene is over here, there isn't, like, the biggest opportunities to progress in that way. So, like, I think, yeah, if you do want to, you know, really make a name for yourself and succeed at what you love doing, you have to move over to the UK. Or some of the other comedians have moved stateside.
Right, interesting. Yeah, of course. Yeah, big connection there. Yeah. Yeah, that would be, if you had a choice, you'd be like, should I head to Manchester, where it always rains constantly throughout the summer, like it has done this year? or, yeah, should we go and live in, well, it will rain in New York or Boston, but yeah, it's a bit, the food's a bit better there as well, and that's the option I'll go for, I reckon.
I don't know, I'm a United fan, so, like, I think Manchester would be...
mate, I'm liking you more and more. The more I learn about you, and the four-month-old has been, she's been pretty chilled throughout this, so I think that's, I will get the sick rating from, I don't know what rating, I was going to say the sick rating, that's,
the
sorry,
sick rating.
I apologise.
She just vomits, like, afterwards. So.
Like, how many in rough star shapes, yeah, and we worked out, oh yeah, that was the rating for Lousy.
Dial out of four, yeah.
Exactly. It's how many meters it goes, yeah, or t-shirt changes I have to do or something like that. no, look, it's only a short chat today, just for, like, the bonus edition of the show, but I'd love to catch up with you another time. And genuine offer as well, if you want to come over and gig Manchester way, just drop me a DM or something if you want some contacts, and help you out with some stuff.
So
I'd be more than happy to do that, man. It's good, isn't it? You meet nice people doing this sort of thing, and it's nice to help people out and bit support and stuff. And obviously your show's going down really well, and yeah, your online following and all that as well. It all looking good. So yeah, thanks for telling us about it. Appreciate
Fingers
it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me and taking the time to have a wee chat.
That's all right. Fully appreciate it. When are you next? What time's your gig? Remind us again of all that stuff. I need reminding.
It is 1:15 every single day in Sneaky Pete's on Cowgate. 1:15 PM, not AM. Dear God, I couldn't be dealing with that now.
Don't go there asking where Lousy is at that time, because
exactly
she won't be there. How was today's show then?
It was lovely. Yeah, I as I said, I'd like a returning person here today, and it just really nice, positive audience that were up for it. Like, you do have your down days. Like, I had a really low energy day the other I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, and the audience I felt were low energy, not by any fault of their own, just because it was lashing rain and it was like a miserable day in Edinburgh. And so you have to get by them and just say tomorrow's another day, and today was like a really, really fun one. So
awesome. Yeah, it's only natural, and you're up there for a month, you know, gigging every single day, doing the same show and stuff. It's
you can't win them all.
No, exactly. But just as long as at the end you're on the right side of it, then all good, happy days. Well, look, what I'll do is I'll get into the show notes, like, all the links to get tickets and where your venue is and your online stuff and social media and all that as well. Give it a good plug.
Thank you so much.
That's all good. Thank you so much again, Lousy, for joining me and little Mila. Mila, do you want to say goodbye to Auntie Lousy?
Bye, Mila.
No, doesn't care now. Something's happened. I don't know what. No, I thought she was going to vomit, but no, she's not. So. All good. Okay, I'll let you go before I've got some more mess to clean up this end. But thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Canarila, Gramila. Bye.
So thank you so much, Lousy and Baby, for your contribution in that one as well. It was great chatting to Lousy, and definitely someone that I need to get back on the show for a full, proper chat, really. I'm really interested by all the social media stuff and how you can kind of make a name and start to grow a following on there. And it'd be fascinating to learn from her a bit more about how she comes up with the content and her humour and the creative side of her work as well. We'll get there. We'll definitely get her back on. I promise you that. And yeah, as I said during it, hopefully get to see her over in the UK, gigging a lot more as well soon, and definitely recommend you check her out. I've only heard amazing stuff about her show this year, but also her stand-up as well. Check all the notes on this episode, please, for links to her social media. Follow her on there, give her some support, even if you can't make her show during the last week of the Fringe. It'd be amazing if you give her a follow and a like and all that stuff, and let her know if you've enjoyed this episode. That would be amazing. So all I'm going to ask of you now is also if you'd like my humble attempts on social media, that would be great. There is now a YouTube channel up and running. I've added a couple of videos so far, but there's a lot more to come to it. Pull Back Reveal, you're soon going to be able to get your full episodes on there. There's going to be some additional content as well, some stuff that's not available anywhere else. So just search Pull Back Reveal on YouTube, and do the same on Twitter and Facebook. Give us a follow, give us a like if you enjoy our stuff. Give it a share. Sharing is caring, as I always say. So thank you once again to Lolzy. Sorry for the baby on shoulder element during that, but we, at the moment, they're coming thick and fast, these episodes. We have to fit them in where we can. But no, thank you for Lolzy being so understanding about that. And yes, such a lovely, wonderful person to chat with. I hope that you will enjoy your day or night, whatever time or location that you're listening in. And we'll catch up again soon. Thanks very much, everyone. Bye-bye.